shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Barack Obama is a liar.
He's across the state. We traveled today.
It is a horror show. If you've never seen it, it's about a high
school. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Do you only love Teen Talk?
I think that's pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And like that. Radio for patriots, by patriots. But we keep marching inexorably across the... And when I say inexorably, Bud, that doesn't mean... It's got nothing to do with skin problems, you know?
All right.
Boy. But we keep on marching and we keep on keeping on, man, across the heads of these soft liberals, progressives, those that would weaken the country just so they can have it nice and soft. And we don't believe in that any more than you do, and that is why this radio show has had no choice. We've had no choice. We've had to... be on the air here with you each and every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. We're very happy you've joined us here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. President Obama's birth certificate is out, and yet there are still unsatisfied critics. Are you one of them? Orly Tates, I think, was on one of the shows. I don't know who she was talking to. I think it was O'Donnell over there on MSNBC. And you know that O'Donnell, being a card-carrying liberal, a member of the Hollywood establishment, you know that he was going to have a thing or two to say to her. And it was quite a happening. So we'll be hearing some of that audio. We'll get into what they're arguing about. Superman renounces his U.S. citizenship in the latest comic book issue. He renounces his U.S. citizenship. Superman. It's not a big thing. He's a fictitious superhero personage. But it still bothers me a lot. Atheists want better support in the military, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the possibility, get a load of this, of atheist chaplains. Are you ready for that?
That's impossible.
I don't know. We're going to find out from Jim Sadler later on. Plus, we'll tell you why you might not want to sing Kung Fu Fighting, while in the United Kingdom, that is. Lloyd Bonafide, Dr. Jim Sadler will be with us here in a moment. Mr. Bonafide, a former resident of Iowa, the Midwest, the Tornado Alley, as they call it, is going to be on to talk with us about his experiences and what a devastating, devastating few hours, 48 hours, the people of the Alabama and some stretches of Tornado Alley, what a time they have had. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Dallas, KFXR, 1190 AM, and in Warrenton, Virginia, WKDL, 1250 AM. And, of course, the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com. We're live streaming video of our show is right now. We're on Phil TV in HD. Behind me is the roaring surf of the El Pacifico. And I don't know whether you guys that are watching us right now on Phil TV, you can see the hellacious surf that we have. Right now, there's a little bit of a calm. But you can see this is a very, very high surf that we've got out on the Pacific coast tonight. And people that are watching us on Phil TV in HD can see a really churning Pacific Ocean. And these are some super, super serious waves that have been banging the coast out there this afternoon. So if you want to get a look at that, join us over here tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And as we mentioned, a devastating time for some people in our country who are having to contend with these tornadoes. U.S. meteorologists, by the way, warned on Thursday it would be a mistake to blame climate change for this seeming increase in tornadoes in the wake of deadly storms that have ripped through the U.S. South. So, in other words, our scientists, our meteorologists, in addition to the good work that they do in trying to warn us as to the reality of life, you know, the reality of life, just what's really happening, all right? Not only do they have to tell us, you know, and God bless them for doing it, telling us what's real, then they got to go out and they got to dispel fantasy land. Now they got to, you know, so they got to go and knock on Mother Goose's door and get her to shut up. Mother Goose, otherwise known as Al Gore. So they don't have enough to do in doing the great work that they do. Now they got to, excuse me, Mr. Former Vice President, would you mind shut, you know, there's a lot of people that get worried about this stuff. So quit playing it like it's, like you're on scare tactics. And if you haven't seen that show, oh, baby.
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty scary.
It isn't scary so much as that I feel bad for those people. Anyway, the meteorologists warning that this has nothing to do with climate change. It has nothing to do with the so-called global warming or any of this other jazz. It has to do with just the unfortunate aspect, the reality of this kind of weather. Tornadoes and violent storms ripped through seven southern states, killing at least 284 people in the country's deadliest series of twisters in nearly four decades. This cluster of powerful tornadoes, more than 160 reported in total, combined with storms to cut a swath of destruction heading west to east. Over several days in some areas, whole neighborhoods were flattened, cars flipped, trees and power lines leaving tangled wreckage. And what a horrible, horrible situation in terms of the loss of life there in those parts of the country, as I mentioned, in the southeast and some of the southern states there in Tornado Alley. Joining us now on the Phil Hendry Show is Lloyd Bonafide. Mr. Bonafide is a resident now of Alhambra, California. For a brief time, though, he was living in what we call the Tornado Alley section of the country in Walcott, Iowa. And Mr. Bonafide joining us by telephone from Alhambra tonight. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, sir. Doing well. We feel very badly for the people that have suffered so in these storms that have...
Of course.
The storms that have taken place.
Where did you live, Walcott?
We lived in Walcott, Iowa, after I'd gotten out of the Navy, where I married my wife, and I had my first business there. And I lived there for about 3 years before we moved to California. And in the time that I was there with my wife, and this was during the period of the late 50s all the way through the early 60s, we probably had every year, an average year, you'd see or you would be in some way in the proximity of a half a dozen serious twisters, tornadoes.
Uh-huh.
And this was a normal thing. And I wanted to say to your listeners, Mr. Hendry, who may be listening in that part of the country, that one of the worst things you can do, and I don't want to comment on the terrible situation.
No, I don't either. Let's keep this really about your experience.
Well, I just simply want to say that one of the worst things you can do is to give the appearance that you're running out, that you're leaving your property, that you're leaving your belongings, that you give the appearance that you are not sticking to it, you know. And there were an awful lot of there was a lot on the news in those days where you'd see people getting into their cars and leaving and getting into their, you know, we had in those days station wagons and leaving, and you'd see these crowds of people. And I saw that on television one day, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, we have so much to be thankful for, and we've built so much in this home.
Right.
That I will not let this...
I know you're a little emotional, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to make it, let it drive me out.
So what did you do?
Well, the first thing that I said to my wife, and I went to a lot of the neighbors that we knew, and we knew quite a few of them, I said, you know, the chances of us getting hit by one of these tornadoes is very, very slim. They look very daunting. If you've ever seen one, Mr. Hendry, of course, you've seen them in the news.
Yeah, just looking at them on film or videotape, they look frightening.
They are very daunting looking, but when you realize that all it is wind, it's just a rapidly moving air, and the chances of it actually striking your home are very, very slim. And the idea that you're going to be presenting to the nation the look of a man who's being run off his own property by this tornado, I said to my wife, and I talked to a number of my neighbors, and I said, it's better that we stay. And that's exactly what we did. Through the next three storm seasons, there wasn't a one of us that actually got into our cars or evacuated our homes.
Now, isn't there some kind of a law in place, like in other places, where there's mandatory evacuation?
Well, we were never in a... yes, there were at times... I believe there were two mandatory evacuations, but I told the fire department and the police department, I said, you know, you guys, you know, you're knocking on the wrong door, because there's no way I'm leaving this home. There's no way I'm leaving a home that I have worked and that I have sweated and that I have bled for all these years. You guys are at the wrong house. I said, shove off. And I remember saying that to this one cop. He said, sir, we need to have... I said, you and your little friend there, he had another police officer with. I didn't mean to be rude to the police officer, but I wanted to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you and your little friend get in your little play car there. And I respect the police very much, Mr. Henry. I don't want it to be felt that I don't. But I was making a statement along with my neighbors. We were not going to let a tornado run us off and show us up and make us look as if we were panicked and frightened refugees. So I said to the police officer, I said, take your little toy car and take your little, you know, uniform and go off and play cops and robbers with somebody, okay? Don't bother me.
And you say you respect the cops. That's a hell of a thing to...
Well, I was very scared. So I told this cop to get lost, and for three seasons now...
In other words, none of these tornadoes came near your home?
None came near my home. None came near Jim Purcell's home. Al Jones was another friend of mine that I'd had in the Navy who moved into the same neighborhood. We lost two families one year, but again, I feel very bad for that. But again, the average that was basically this: two families over 6 years.
Well, I mean, that's not really. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know whether or not that's an average that I want to advertise. You know,
I said to everyone, I said, don't go anywhere. I'm still here. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Henry, you have a higher percentage of making it if you don't leave your home. If you stay in your home and you let the tornado, it's not going to come near you, because I think what happens with a tornado is the tornado sees, or it doesn't see, but the tornado is going where there is a lot of vulnerable and where there's a lot of, I don't know how to put this, where the vulnerability is the highest. A tornado tends not to go where people have decided they're going to tough it out.
Well, what does that mean, sir? You're telling me the tornado has some kind of... You're not telling me the tornado has some kind of awareness?
No. Of course, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is, I got outside my house, I put my hands on my hips, I looked toward this tornado, and I wasn't talking to the tornado, but I was talking to myself, and I was talking to anyone that would hear me, and I said... And I pointed at it, and I said to it, you go to hell. I said this to the tornado, not that it was going to hear me, but I did. I said, you go to hell. And I did that for 6 years.
What are you telling me then, sir? You're telling me that if you stay in your house...
If you stay in your home and you don't go...
The average, the chances of a tornado getting you are very, very slim.
Yes, sir. You increase your chances if you simply have the attitude that the tornado can go straight to hell. Now, I'm not saying the tornado hears you. I'm not saying it has a consciousness. None of that. But you've got to get in your mind. And again, I won't comment, but I think you'll be safest if you have that attitude.
Well, I don't know how that practically defends anyone, you know.
Well, but you have my example. I never was hurt by a tornado. My wife wanted to leave one year, and I said to her, you're not going anywhere. And I know it sounds as if I kept her against her will, but what I did do was I gave her the guts to tough it out, as I did. And
what is that all about, though? Because when you say the chances are you're not going to get hurt, all you need to be is wrong once. You know that?
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
All you need to be is wrong once.
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. So what that says is, when the tornadoes came into my town, and you can say what you want about this, I would say you go straight to hell.
All right, hang on the line here. Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, a native of Walcott, Iowa, who was in the tornado alley through an early part of his marriage, and says the best thing you can do is to stay there, not be intimidated by the tornado, and sort of, you know, just kind of have an attitude like the tornado can go to hell. You just heard what he said. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Lloyd Bonafide, a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, about his experiences with tornadoes. They're nothing to fool around with. They're nothing to stand with your hands on your hips and say, you go to hell to. This is this man's attitude, but I don't want anybody getting hurt. That's a very, very important consideration of this radio show. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Be back with Lloyd Bonafide in a moment, a man who survived and experienced a great many tornadoes in his home in Iowa back in the early days of his marriage. He's a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, is speaking with us about he and neighbors sort of banding together and refusing to leave and staring the tornado in the eye and essentially saying, making the statement to each other, to themselves, to the nation at large, that they're not going to be run off. I don't know whether I agree with that. First up, though, we want to tell you about a great sponsor of ours. You guys know about the great micro-energy shot called Dynapep. Just 4 milliliters, less than a teaspoon. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's just 2 calories. And I think did I say there was no caffeine? Yes, there's caffeine.
Yeah, that's really healthy and everything.
It is very healthy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get my Dynapep shot out here in a moment. I always do my Dynapep shot in the evening. And we will tell you that it is all very, very good stuff. As a matter of fact, it will keep you up and keep you going and feeling good for 10 hours. Gives you 10 times the power. Dynapep Micro Energy Shot gets you through the night. You're focused. You're alert. And it keeps you going when you've been up all night as well. Again, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, and only 2 calories. So get Dynapep, okay? Dynapep, it is the best micro-energy shot out there, and it's available right now at 7-Eleven. Hey, head over to the 7-Eleven store right now and pick up Dynapep. Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide in Alhambra, California, as we continue this discussion on tornadoes. And Lloyd, I'm having a difficult time following you a little bit here when you say that you didn't want to show fear.
You have to understand. I was, as you mentioned, I'm a Korean War veteran, and as a war veteran, as a combat veteran, it's difficult for me to be around a lot of people that are running away from something. It's just something that we, as veterans, we don't like to see a lot of people piling into their cars and running out. My wife, that one spring, as I mentioned to you, my wife was hysterical and had to be hospitalized because I kept her in the house. But she learned.
And your wife was what?
I told your producer that my wife had been hospitalized because I wouldn't let her leave when we had a particularly vicious storm bearing down on our home, and it was a funnel cloud, and you could see the debris that was being kicked up by it, and it was quite a significant and daunting thing. But I had told you I'd walked out in the yard area there. You could feel the wind, and you could feel the barometric pressure changing. But I went out, and I looked at that, and I said, you could go straight to hell. I was talking to the tornado. Now, not that it could hear. I'm not saying it could hear me. I was saying this for me. My wife darted for the car. I grabbed her, and I pulled her back into the house.
And your wife was trying to get away.
What's that, sir?
Your wife was trying to get away.
Was running out, and I told her, I said, you look at that and tell it to go to hell.
And well, okay, but you did you kidnap your wife?
No, hold on for a minute here. I didn't kidnap anyone or anything. I told my wife that I don't marry women that run out. Like, you see, I was a Korean War veteran.
No, I understand that, sir. You told me that your wife was hospitalized as the result of you not letting her leave.
She had a nervous condition, but I told her, as I told my neighbors, if we look at that tornado and we say it can go to hell, it can burn in hell, as if it was a human. It was a human being. It would give us the strength to last out this storm. It's all I say.
All right, sir. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide and your phone calls too, at 877-876-PHIL. And this is a piece of significant information that this man wants to stare down a tornado to stay in his neighborhood, even if it means keeping his wife from leaving as well, which I did not know about. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Go to hell.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show, and we have with us Lloyd Bonafide, a former resident of Walcott, Iowa, his hometown. He's a Navy veteran, moved to California. We're talking about his days in Iowa when he was first married, and a very unusual and, sounds to me, extremely dangerous method of dealing with hurricane or tornadoes, rather, and that was to stay in the house. I just want to alert those of you who are watching Phil TV. You can see that beautiful bouquet of flowers there. One of our sponsors is ProFlowers, and they sent me these tulips, a bouquet of tulips. And you can see these are 2 days into the being in the vase here on our Phil TV webcast. Watch these for a solid week. When we say they stay fresh for a week, I ain't kidding you. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. Let's get a phone call up here very quickly. Jeffrey in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead, sir.
You know, the guy on y'all been talking to, I think he's kind of crazy. Because he can't tell a tornado to go to hell. He might walk out there and tell it, but it ain't going
to
listen.
I didn't say that you can tell a tornado to go to hell. I said I told it, or I told myself this, you know, sometimes, if you've ever been in the military, just saying something, you know, when we march or something, it gives you some confidence. Now,
okay, a tornado's going to touch down anywhere damn well pleases. It can touch down here and jump up and touch down two houses later. What you going to do?
It's not going to come near my house, and I'll tell you something. I lived there for 6 years, and I told my neighbors, I said, don't you move. And, one family was killed.
Well, that's not a very good average. One family was killed.
Am I talking to you right now, sir? The gentleman on the phone. Am I talking to you, Jeffrey? Am I talking to you, Mr. Hendry? I'm telling you that it's true because I said I'm not leaving.
What about your wife, who was very frightened and wanted to get out of there?
What about her? Is she calmed down?
She was hospitalized.
Yeah, hospitalized. What's up with that? You know, you could avoid it there. You know, if my wife wants to leave, I'm going to be right behind her. I'm behind my wife.
Well, sir, I will tell you this. If I saw a man running off with the women, I'd be disgusted. And my feeling is very simply this. You tell that tornado to go straight to living hell. And I stood there with my hands up.
He might send you to hell if you don't, if he touches your house, if he goes through your house.
What, the tornado? If I looked at that tornado and I said, you could go straight to hell with any tornado that's behind you.
Well, are you talking to the tornado or are you not?
No, of course not.
It sounds like you're talking to the tornado to me.
Jeffrey, I don't know your history or what, if you have problems. Why does it sound like I'm talking to it if I tell you that I'm not? I stood in front of the tornado this is 1964, and I was a 31-year-old man. And I said to this tornado, you can go down to the devil. And I'm telling you, as sure as God was born on Christmas Day, that tornado stopped and it backed up. Now, what do you say to that? Do you call me crazy?
It could be a coincidence because that tornado can just came straight for you. You never know what.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Nature.
Are you telling me that if I stand out there and I see a tornado, what about a freight train?
Oh, don't be an ass. I'm not talking about a freight train. I'm talking about something that has no real path. The tornado doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't even know why it's doing what it's doing. It's just...
Okay, like I said, it's an act of nature. It just went up, back up now. You just having a coincidence. You said, go to hell, and
nope.
It went back up. Okay, it came right back down... 2 seconds later and touched down right on top of your house.
Easy to say, isn't it? Easy to say, a coincidence, but I've got 6 years of telling tornadoes to go straight to hell, and there's not a one of them that ever laid a finger on me.
Okay, I'm still very concerned. You know, I'm still very concerned.
Oh, what do you mean lucky? You know what? That's the cheapest thing to say. A guy's lucky. Why don't you just say it? I'm good. And I'd rather be good than lucky.
What are you good at? What are you good at? Thank you very much for your call, Jeffrey. What are you good at? And beside the point, no comment yet about how you frightened your wife.
You know what, Mr. Henry? That's my wife, and I loved that girl my whole life. From the time I was 18 years of age, from the time I said goodbye to her and I shipped off the United States Navy from San Diego, California, and I came back to her, and when she was going to run out on me, I told a tornado, and I said to her, I said, and
you grabbed her and dragged her back into the house. The girl was your wife was hospitalized because of some sort of nervous exhaustion.
Yeah, because she was weak, and it was disappointing to me because she was weak. And I told her, as I told my neighbors, I said, all of you can go to hell along with the tornado if you can't stand here and look at nature and say, this is my home, this is where I'm going to live.
877-876-7445. Phil Henry here as we talk to Lloyd Bonafide, who is talking about tornadoes and the fact that people that run away from them are sending the wrong message. Here is, I believe it's Rod in Fresno. Rod, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Lloyd Bonafide.
Actually, I'm in Corthgold, and
yes, sir.
I lived in Norman, Oklahoma for 39 years, and we dealt with tornadoes every year for three or four months, sometimes even out of the season. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I know one thing from NOAA weather research is that structures will create a vacuum, and they will pull a tornado towards them.
I realize.
And the only thing that can make a tornado go off course is when it does hit a structure. It's just like when you're spinning a top.
Except when you open the window, hold on, because when you open the windows, as I do at my home every year, I would take a chair if I had to, and I would bust those windows out.
It doesn't matter. You still got a sealed-up attic up there. You've got a barn. You've got lots of things that build up pressure. Your hot water tank.
And the hot water tank is not a vacuum.
Everything. The radiators in your car. Your gasoline tank.
All that building up pressure to go to hell.
Wait a minute. Will you listen to what the young man's saying?
No, but he says that the house is a vacuum. Is he?
I'm making sense. I'm trying to make sense. Can he stop while I explain a little bit more?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I was missed by about a quarter mile from the biggest tornado in history. In 99. In Moore, Oklahoma. Moore, Oklahoma
man.
City, Dell City, the biggest tornado in history. I've seen what it does. I stood out there and looked in the middle of the path of destruction. And I've seen that it went towards different buildings. And when it got out into nowhere in a pasture, it went in a straight line. Right to the next housing development.
The tornado went into the house. Did you hear what you just said?
And when the tornado hit the next housing development, it also went in a very erratic path. My question is, when you said this to the tornado, did it just hit a house? When it turned around and alters its course, did it just hit a house? Did it just hit a barn?
No, it was in the middle of an open field, and I said, you could go to hell with all the little tornadoes that you make every year, and it stopped, and I know what you guys are going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but it looked confused. All right?
And you think you did that? Tornadoes are completely erratic. They go off air drafts. They go off warm air drafts, cold air drafts. They can move in erratic, completely erratic That's why you have one house destroyed and one house remaining.
So, Rod, this is Phil. Rod is basically saying this. He's saying that the tornado is going to alter course, you may think, because you told it to go to hell. And
I told you I don't think the tornado is a person. I said that I felt the tornado, the wind got the vibration.
What he's saying is that the tornado's course can be altered by pressure in even the smallest thing, like a radiator, like a water heater. It can be altered by and change the pressure in these things. And it has nothing to do with anything
even,
else.
Even water in the ground. Water pipes going under the highway. It blew the highway apart. It blew the highway apart where the main lines went through. That's pressure in any concealed, anything that's concealed. Your car is a dangerous weapon. If you get in your car to run from a tornado, you're still in a dangerous situation. Because you've got something that's very lightweight, it can be picked up very easily.
I think what you want to do here, Lloyd, is you want to feel like somehow you standing there and telling a tornado to go to hell had some effect, when in fact there's a lot of things that change its course.
I've been listening to what the young man's been saying, but he also said that tornado wears a dress.
Here's another thing.
Things like that.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
The very next day, on the front page of the Oklahoma City newspaper, there was an aerial photograph of the path of the tornado. I mean, from way, it must have been a satellite.
Because it showed about
50 square miles. And every time it got near a town or near a city, it leached towards it. It went towards it. It didn't shy away from it.
All right, Mr. Henry,
it went towards it.
You guys are making fun of me for saying go to hell to a tornado, and here's a young man saying that the tornado leapt towards a town. What, did it want something to eat? Did it want to rent a car?
No, he's talking about what is created by structures, structures that are there. All right, listen, thank you very much, Rob, for your call. Very, very good call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Well, you just hung up on that young man. He had another point to make.
Well, if I did, I apologize.
Because he was going, wait a minute, Mr. Henry. He got really loud the way a lot of the, I'm sure he was a good kid, but he sounded a little as if there might have been, he might not have gotten out of, I don't mean to make a joke, as if he might not have gotten out of the way of a tornado. But the point that I'm making,
Well, you can insult him if you want.
No, but the only point that I'm trying to make and that people don't understand, I looked at this tornado and it stopped and backed up. It didn't go to the left. It didn't go to the right. It backed away from me as if there was some fear in it. That when I told it, and I said to it, I said, you can rot. You can rot in hell. I made it, I didn't say Mr. Tornado, but I said, you think you're going to come down here and you're going to destroy the only thing I've ever loved in my life. And I wasn't talking about my wife. I was talking about my home, and especially the Windstream that I just bought. But I also met my wife. But I think that's what caused her to bolt from the house into the car and try to get away, because I think she felt I was only talking about the car and the Windstream in the house. And
all right, I need to take a break, okay?
If you break now, I'm leaving the impression that I'm mad. I'm a madman.
I'm not, no, sir. But what you're talking about is going to need some explanation. As we talk to Lloyd Bonafide about tornadoes and what causes them to alter course and what causes them to, quote, back up. He claims, standing there with his hands on his hips, telling it to go to hell, caused the tornado to back up and to miss his house. And he said, living in Tornado Alley all those years, not once did a tornado hit him, his home, or his neighbors. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Dr. Jim Sadler, next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Right after Dr. Jones. Man.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-BILL. That's 877-876-7445.
I want to get back to Lloyd Bonafide here as we talk with this man, a Navy veteran and a resident and a native of Iowa, about these tornadoes. But I really have to get to this question of your wife, and then we'll take some more phone calls, sir.
Mr. Henry, I treat my wife as fine. All right.
I have to get to the question of how you grabbed her and dragged her back in the house.
She had bolted from the house to the car. And when I say bolted, I had stood there, and I'll never forget the day. It was May 16th. It was 1965. And I said, there at the, as the, this was a twister, it was coming up the Mississippi, of the part of the Mississippi River, the valley. There's a ledge there called McMullen, and that was turning toward the town. I said, you can rot in hell, you, and yes, even the God that created you.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not talking to God. It's something that strengthens me. That's when she bolted to the car and tried to get away. And
so no wonder she bolted to the car and tried to get away. You send that to God?
Oh, when you grow up, okay? I'm not talking to God and I'm not talking to the tornado. I'm talking to myself and my neighbors. You have to understand that my neighbors would see me doing this and would gain strength from it.
And then your wife, who was hospitalized with nervous exhaustion after you dragged her back into that home and made her suffer through this series of twisters. 877-876-PHIL. I think that's something. You love a woman, you love anybody in your family, you love a person, you don't put them through that. Here is Jane, and Jane is on the Phil Henry Show. Jane is in Cleveland, Cleveland, Tennessee. Go ahead, Jane, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Oh, yeah, I just called to tell you that we lived through a tornado the other day, and about my
yes,
neighbors,
ma'am.
They were in their house. Seconds before the tornado hit their home and leveled it, they got in the basement, and all they have left is just clothes on their back, and they were barefooted and come to our home. Our neighbor's, other neighbor's house is leveled, too. So, I mean,
well,
it's risky.
Did they tell it to go to hell?
Oh, come on, will you?
Well, the lady said they went into the basement, and I don't know that that's what you want to do. I think you want to stay above ground.
If they stayed above ground, they would be dead now.
Well, ma'am, you stayed above ground. How are you? You're fine. See?
No, I went into a garage.
Oh. The lady went into a covered area.
Well, of course she went into a covered area. All right. But the point, do you have a storm basement, ma'am? James, do you have a storm basement in your home?
No, I had to go into my garage. I was lucky.
See? So it couldn't be. It couldn't concern you that much because you don't have. And I'm not criticizing. Yeah,
well,
I'm saying it couldn't concern you that much. So I didn't have a storm basement either. I wouldn't. To construct a storm basement would mean that I had no guts.
Boy, you really play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
I beg your pardon?
You play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
Say that again.
You play
I don't
it
really
fast and loose with people's. Go ahead, Jane.
Well, I was just saying.
And I'm glad to hear that you're safe, yeah.
If we had stayed in the house, now we're lucky it didn't hit us, it went around. So I've got trees uprooted in my house and in my yard, my neighbors would be dead if they didn't go to the basement.
Right. This was a devastating event.
Mr. Henry, I lived through tornadoes, too. But there was something about Lloyd Bonafide when I saw that thing coming down the hill, and I knew that it was gunning for my home. I stood there and I said to it, "Boy, I'll tell you, you are gonna burn. You'll burn with Jack the Ripper."
You're talking to a tornado.
I've had 9 people in this county die.
Yes,
I because of this.
But this has got nothing to do with that. I'm talking about Iowa. In 1965.
Well, what made Iowa different from this situation?
I don't know. Other than the fact that I was able to tell a tornado to go to hell. I don't know, Mr. Henry. You're asking me a lot of very uncomfortable questions.
Of course they're uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's very dangerous. It's better for people to adhere to a safe plan. I remember hurricanes in the southeast. Kids would go out. They thought it was funny to go out and play in the hurricanes, play in the wind. One of them almost got killed by a flying piece of plate glass window. You know, these things are beyond jokes. And
this is not a joke, sir. This is me standing...
Or somebody acting the fool and dragging somebody else back into a house because you don't want a tornado to beat you.
Well, the image of people fleeing their homes in front of a tornado, to me, I cannot abide it. It makes me physically ill. I would rather see human beings stand there and tell a tornado to go straight to the demon. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll help. Thank you very much, Jane. Glad you're safe too.
Yeah, you're welcome.
877-876 Phil. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Yeah, Lloyd, you're out of your mind. You are insane. You're telling people that all they have to do is use this language, go straight to hell, and something like that, and it's going to turn a tornado. Are you out your mind?
Have you done it? Have you tried it? Have you even given it a try? No. So how do you know?
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about, and truth is our bitch on this show. So we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, because they don't believe in truth, because they don't believe in the fair and the just and the honest and the equal and the weird. But we do. Let me ask you a question. Are the goods that we're sending our troops in care packages good enough? Are the things that we send to our young men and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the world, are we sending these great young men and women the kinds of things that give them comfort and the kinds of things that remind them of home, a cool drink, some snacks, foods, other things that they may need, batteries for some sort of an audiovisual device they're using for their music or their movies? Are we sending them what they need? We're going to be talking with a young man, R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a young man who is hoping to advance and have a career in the U.S. Army. We're going to talk to him about those things from home and those things that we do send to our kids. Charlie LaFountain, who is a writer and a father, is going to join us in our second hour to be talking about how to dissuade child predators and what is your child's responsibility, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Charlie LaFountain about that. One of the things that he's writing about, which is controversial, is the need against all of the conversation we've heard, is the need for the kids to keep on the weight, to have extra weight. So Charlie LaFountain joining us. Next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight this evening, a WTAR Norfolk, Virginia, and KERN in Bakersfield, California, right up the road from us. We're going to get on the line here with R.C. Collins at Bradley Military Academy. This is in Altadena, California, as we kick off tonight. But one thing, put it on hold, will you? Put it on hold. Bud, put it on hold.
What?
The phone. Put it on hold. I can hear the... I wanted to mention our website, philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, be sure to get a backstage pass, which gives you access to literally years and years and years and years, 15 years worth of archive material, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic Phil podcasts, our video on demand, our daily video cast, which is up and running right now here from the El Pacifico. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. RC, how are you, sir?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for letting us talk about this.
What grade are you in? What level of cadet are you?
I'm a junior cadet.
You're a junior at Bradley Military Academy?
Yes, sir.
And RC, you wrote a blog for your cadet class. I guess there are a number of I know you have an academy newspaper there. And you also have blogs for your senior level and junior level, and you wrote one having to do with supplies from home, correct?
Yes, sir. The blog was called Message from Home, and it was about the kinds of things that troops get sent.
Yeah, maybe if you tell those guys to turn the TV down.
Yeah, turn the TV down. The article was about the kinds of things that are, or the blog was about the kinds of things that get sent to the troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places where they're deployed around, you know, the world. And the substance of the blog had to do with the fact that a lot of it is pretty substandard. It's not because the people at home don't care. I think that there needs to be more thought put into what we're sending our troops. These are people that are defending this country, and you know, I for one am very, very devoted and committed to my career here at the academy, and then eventually I want to go on to West Point. And
you want to become an officer?
Yes, sir, very much so. And then I hope to defend my country. You know, I hope to be deployed to a theater where there is active engagement of an enemy, and I can tell you that I'm willing to go to the limits. I mean, I'm like everybody here at Bradley. We're ready to go to the limits for the country that we live in. And you know, I'm pretty psycho about how I view defending my country.
And all right, so you guys are very, very committed, and we would expect nothing less. Although we are very appreciative of that. And so I take it that means that whatever you are supplied from home, and we're not talking about now standard Army issue stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the standard issue that you get in the services, whether it's the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air or what have you, is not going to be the same as what you can get from home. It's pretty, you know, regular MRI is pretty, like there's pudding and there's some meat, but it's a lot of it's dehydrated. It's not the highest quality kind of food, but you don't expect it to be high quality. It's coming from the Army. It's intended to make sure that you have enough fuel, but it's not supposed to be something that, you know, is comfort food. What we want from back home has more to do with, you know, rounding out the experience of being deployed overseas and having stuff from back home that is, you know, making it worth putting your life on the line.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is not yet in the Army. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And we're discussing, I guess, the quality of the home front support. Now, we're not talking about anything here, R.C., having to do with... you are, as a young man, you're not yet in the military, but you see the way the average soldier is being supplied by the military itself as adequate, correct?
Yeah, and the one thing I want to correct, I'm not in the military in a technical way that you said. You're right about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not the best thing for our morale, I guess, to say, well, you're not in the military, you're not in the military. I mean, I am in the military in the sense that the minute I came to Bradley Military Academy, the minute I put on the cadet cap, the minute that we were on the parade grounds for the Commandant Parade, and then the different, you know, things that we did, I mean, and learning and training and everything that goes into being a military academy, I am in the military because otherwise, and I'm ready, you know, I'm pretty psycho and so are a lot of my friends that are here in the class. So to say that we're not in the military is kind of bad. It's kind of bad for the morale a little bit.
All right, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not an official member of the United States Army.
No, sir, not yet, no. But I know that, you know that. I mean, we don't have to keep... I guess beating it into the ground, you know.
All right, well, I'm not going to beat it into the ground. I wanted to make that distinction. What are the things that the soldiers, that the sailors, that the airmen, that the Marines, what are the things that our fighting men and women around the world, what do you feel they are not getting?
Well, I think personally, and I've talked to a lot of the cadets here, I mean, there's a lot that they're not getting that they need to have that they are not getting. For instance, if you some of the stuff that they get borders a little bit on as if they're little kids, and I don't mean to say that I don't want to insult anybody at home because I know the parents really try to do their best, but it's a little bit of an insult to send like Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, you know. And
why is that an insult? Isn't that kind of a nice treat to have?
Well, I mean, we're fighting men, and you know, we want to kill, you know, for the country and kill the enemy, and go, and you go, oh yeah, here's a treat. it sort of minimizes...
So you feel that that kind of diminishes the mission?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it diminishes the mission. It makes it seem so, you know, like, here's your Pop-Tart, go out and kill the enemy. I mean, that's really that very respectful. The other thing, and I think you saw this in the movie Hurt Locker, which was a very good movie, but I don't think it did a lot for the morale to show that sometimes you're going out, you know, on a mission or you're going out on patrol and you've got a juice box in a cooler, which is totally something that just maybe a school kid would have, you know?
And, well, are they drinking out of juice boxes over there or not?
Well, yeah, they are, but I mean, I didn't think it was good for the director of the movie to show it, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't think we want to have a juice box, you know, like that. It would be great if we had root beer or we had Coca-Cola. There's nothing wrong with that. But we would prefer it to be in a container that, I guess, sort of you can look at and go, well, I got a bottle in my hand, I got a can in my hand, and I'm sitting here with a juice box like I'm a little kid, you know, that I'm not allowed to be able, I can't do my job. You know?
Well, you're taking personally the idea that there's juice boxes and Pop-Tarts being sent to the troops, right? And
well, yeah, I think a lot of soldiers take it personally. I mean, we
have... Well, who have you talked to? Have you talked to soldiers that are upset that they're getting juice boxes and Pop-Tarts instead of what? And you say a bottle or a can?
Well, yeah, a bottle or a can or instead of a Pop-Tart, it would be better if you just... It doesn't have to be anything very elaborate. They have the sausages that you can get in the... like in the freezer section of the market, if you get the frozen sausage sandwiches that they have, those are very good. They have the sausage patties that are very good. I would much rather have the sausage patties or the frozen sausage sandwich than a Pop-Tart, which I think is just, like I said, kind of little kid-like.
All right.
Like the Jimmy Dean, they have those. And donating juice boxes is sort of cheap, too. That's the other thing I was going to say, and Pop-Tarts, too. We want to feel as if people are spending money on us because we could die. And if you're giving your life for your country and people are, like, being cheap. Yeah, I was just talking to Cadet. McMillan said that if you're being cheap, then it means you hold our lives cheap, too.
If you're being cheap, are you talking? Who are you talking to specifically now, RC? Are you talking?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to the parents. I'm talking to just everybody that gives stuff to the troops. Please don't hold our lives so cheaply in your hands that the only thing we raid are juice boxes and Pop-Tarts.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy talking about these snacks and supplies and things that are sent to the troops by civilians. I wanted to ask you, R.C., and I don't think that it's, you know, I don't think I'm talking out of school now. When you say that you don't want people to be cheap, when you say you don't want the people out there to be cheap, the mothers and fathers, aren't you being a little demanding, you know?
Well, I don't think so, sir. I mean, we're talking about giving our lives for the country. I'm going to die someday killing Al-Qaeda, and if there's a God in heaven, I'll die killing Al-Qaeda. That's how I want to go. And all I'm asking for is that instead of sending me treats, that I get a sausage sandwich or sausages. And you know... I mean, I'm too young now. If I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'll probably want to have a cigarette. And they don't even want to send cigarettes because the brass, the army, you know, the top of the army don't want us to have them.
You guys don't get cigarettes?
No, we don't. And
well, you guys in the military academy are too young, but you're talking about the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I don't imagine they get cigarettes either, the way that they're treated by the Army brass and by civilians, too.
Well, there's a big thing about smoking. I mean, we could get into that, but I right now what we're talking about is what you consider to be the substandard stuff being sent by civilians. It's cheap, And R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy, basically saying, spend some money on us. We're going to sacrifice our lives for the country. We're getting Pop-Tarts and juice boxes, and we would appreciate, instead, cans and bottles of root beer and sausage McMuffins and these kinds of things. Is there a disconnect here between us at home, on the home front, and what our young people, our young fighting men and women need? Because God knows, whatever it is they need, we're ready to give it to them. Whatever it is they want, we stand here ready to give it to them. R.C. is talking about, quote, spending some money. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back in just a moment here with R.C. Collins. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, this TV on. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And again, 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with R.C. Collins. Again, you guys need to have that TV turned down there. And we're talking with Mr. Collins and other members of Bradley Military Academy about the, I guess you could say, the care packages and the supplies and things that we send to our fighting men and women from home. And a lot of it, yeah, is comfort food, the Pop-Tarts and the juice boxes and the Starbursts, you know, and things like that. R.C. is claiming that this is rather inexpensive stuff and bruises morale when the soldiers get this stuff because they look at it and they think, how much are they spending on this back home when I'm here fighting for my country? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. I wanted to ask you, R.C., examples of other things that you consider to be substandard or cheap that come from the States.
Well, a lot of the guys I know that is coming back, and I tell you, a lot of them say they'll get things like Skittles, or they get, like you, what you just mentioned, Mr. Henry, which is the Starbursts, or they get, peanuts. It when you're expecting to get sausages or to be able to get, a big keg of root beer or something, I mean, we're just asking, you know. Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist, which was a book about a little boy that was starving and living in London, and even he got, you know, you figure Twist got sausages and from the protagonist in the book. We just read it in our English lit class. So Twist, I think, is an example of how tough you can be, and that's what I was grateful for when I read about Twist.
And what did we say, Twist?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oliver Twist, yeah. But that was a young man who was starving to death.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have anything, and yet when he did find people that would take care of him, he got sausages and things like that. But what we get are Skittles, and you just, I don't want to go and come out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick for a bag of Skittles, you know.
All right. 877-876-7445. I hear what you're saying. I'm also mindful of the fact that you're not yet in the military. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I just want to know how this guy feels like he can answer for men and women who've seen combat, himself not seeing combat. I know several people that have been over in the war, and are grateful to get anything, and look forward to getting their mail and stuff from home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, but I know guys over there too. See, I'm not talking about necessarily combat. I'm talking now about just what you get from the States, and you're over there, and any day you could take incoming, you know, like an incoming mortar, and guess what you got that day in the mail? You got like macadamia nuts or some, or, you know, Starburst, and you're going to die for that?
No, you're dying for your country because that's what they signed up to do.
Well,
They're also getting paid. It's not like we're paying them Starburst to go put their lives on the line. That's added extras from home.
It doesn't seem like it's enough that they could send, good Cadbury chocolates and stuff like that, spend a little bit of money instead of going down to a liquor store and getting a big hunk.
I know plenty of people who are in the armed services and would be happy to get nothing from home. They're happy just to serve their country and don't feel like they have to have extra sent from home.
What about that, RC? Do you talk to guys that don't care?
I've never talked to anybody that doesn't care. Guys are always looking for an extra deal and everything. They're finding stereo equipment from Italy or they're finding stuff from Egypt. I mean, they're always shipping stuff back here. I mean, if you think about the guys, they ship stuff stateside that's pretty good. Like the older brother of a friend of mine, he shipped back a whole bunch of iPods and stuff that he got. It was black market. But
all right, I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, what do you hear guys complaining that they're not getting anything from the States?
Yeah, you hear a lot of people go, mushroom stew that they got one time, and they got some Progresso soup, and they hated it.
Progresso soup. All right, Jim, thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445, are the things that we send our men and women overseas, is it quality stuff, or are we shortchanging them? RC says, he's a cadet, though. He says we ought to spend more money. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he's basically talking with us about the food and the treats and the snacks and the things like that that are sent to our troops overseas. Whether they be Skittles or whether they be Starbursts or whether they be juice boxes or these kinds of things, socks, shirts, board games. RC, your basic point is they're not good enough. This stuff is cheap, and they want stuff that's better.
That's essentially it, sir. And
all right, now what about the fact that you haven't been over there? That was the comment that was made to you. By the first caller. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've talked to soldiers that have been there. I've talked to guys that have gone over there, and they've all said to a man the same thing, that, we don't want to tell civilians because there's an attitude in the military. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to be honest with civilians because we don't know whether they're going to be able to take it or not, and there's a lot of ugly stuff that we've seen. But when we go to Iraq or Afghanistan and they're going to send me a Slim Jim and a hand sanitizer, and I want to go and I'm going to kill, not Bin Laden anymore, but Al-Qaeda, and they're sending hand sanitizers and gum,
Well, yeah, but the guy we just talked to said you're doing it for the pay and you're doing it for the patriotism.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that sounds good in a movie, That sounds real good in the movie, and it sounds real good on Fox and Friends. But I'm psycho. I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, and I do want to eat my own guts for my country. But not to come back to base camp and see that somebody sent me a board game or mouthwash.
Well, what do you guys want? You want more porn?
I didn't say that, sir.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
Are you asking for adult things like that, porn, or are you asking for...
Well, we're asking for to be treated like men, yeah. And the fact is, we don't really have that much to relax to. If you're seeing adult films, I would appreciate that, yeah. And I would appreciate a beer instead of somebody sending me a, you know, baby wipes or something.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins here. Here is Shane. Go ahead, Shane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the stateside stuff. Go ahead.
Hey,
Shane.
Hey, this is Shane from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that you have someone on the line here, R.C. Collins, that's a cadet who's never experienced anything, never been deployed. I'm a 10-year Navy veteran, honorable discharge. I was on submarines, and I've been deployed many, many months overseas. And the creature comforts of home are what matter. And I never at
exactly.
any point in my military.
Can exactly. I say well, yeah, but I mean, you guys, are you telling me you're happy with a baby wipe?
Let the guy finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being happy or not being happy. You just appreciate the fact that your relatives, your friends, your family members are thinking of you, and you have that little taste of back home to remember what you're fighting for. It's not the dollar amount or the physical gift itself. It's the fact that I'm fighting over here defending my country for my family members and my friends to live in a free country back home, and they're thinking about me while I'm out here. That's what you care about. At no point in my 10 years of service did I think, while I was deployed overseas, man, I wish someone would send me, a pornographic magazine, or I wish
someone would
send me... Well,
yeah, but you're in the submarine service. You guys had it pretty good. I mean, you get to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Oh, you think? Hey, how many submarines have you served aboard?
Well, Mr. Henry, didn't you say your brother was on a sub?
My brother was on a sub a long time ago, but still in all, your comment, R.C., is you guys have got it easy. Submarine life is, you guys are working 24 hours a day, right, Shane? I mean, you guys don't stop moving on a sub.
Absolutely, Mr. Henry. It's 18-hour days, 6 hours on watch. It's daunting.
Right. And you're underwater, and you're underwater a lot, too, right? Are you not, you're not above
absolutely.
The surface for long stretches.
No,
yeah,
you're not kidding me.
That's not all that hard if you think about what other guys is doing in Afghanistan.
R.C. Collins, I'm not going to compare apples and oranges. Every service, every branch has its difficulties. My service was no easier than a Marine's and vice versa. I've done missions with Army Rangers. I've done missions with Marine Recons. That have ridden aboard my boat to do spec ops, and they've said to me, I don't know how you can do this. And the reason I was able to do it is because when I pulled into Liberty Ports or I pulled into a port, getting the letters from back home, the cards,
mm-hmm.
the pictures, the thank you, we appreciate what you're doing. And for me, the biggest thing for me, I didn't care what anyone sent me. It's when you came home on leave.
Yeah.
And I got to see my parents, and I see other veterans, and they shake my hand.
If you're on a submarine, though, you get a granola bar. Right, but if you get a granola bar on a submarine, that's probably like, well, whatever, because we already get granola bars and everything like that. But in Afghanistan, if you get a granola bar, it's an insult, because you're thinking, yeah, sure, thanks.
I don't see it.
What?
I'm just glad that someone's thinking about me, and the food on the submarine... take it from my experience, it's not steak and eggs every day. It's dehydrated milk, it's dehydrated eggs, no produce, everything's frozen, so it's not that great.
Don't you get offended when you get popcorn and stuff like that? I would be.
Offended? Why would you be offended?
Why would I be offended?
Think about cheap
popcorn. I don't give you.
Civilians are cheap.
Your problem is you're fixating on the physical gift
stuff.
Itself, what it is,
right.
And not the thought behind it, and not that you have relatives and family members that appreciate what you're doing for your country. You want another?
I know.
You want that attaboy pat on the back. But
I want to get stuff in the mail.
Prefer...
If I just got out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick, I want to have something like better than a board game and shampoo.
Oh, like the man said.
What?
That's what you need to feel satisfaction for your job. You're like a ball of contradictions because on one token you say, I eat my guts for my country. I do this, I do that. And then
I'm psycho.
A minute later you say, but I want I want something from home that's worth it. I want something that's, I don't want, I'm not happy
right.
with a Skittle.
Yeah, you don't want a hand sanitizers. You don't want all these things that are going to be sent by people, hand sanitizers and baby wipes. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the Army or whatever says that the guys need that stuff. Shane, thanks so much for your call, and good talking to a guy on the submarine. What was the name of your boat? What was the name of your boat?
I was on the USS Helena stationed out of San Diego, California. Hoorah, say who? Hoorah, Helena.
My brother was on the Barb. Is the Barb still in service? Probably not, huh?
No, it's not. It's been decommissioned. That is a decommissioned submarine. But I appreciate your to have a you know, have a connection to a fellow submariner. That's good to know.
Oh, yeah. He went to New London, Connecticut, and then Pascagoula, which is where their boat was when he got out of the sub school. Was New London where you went?
That's where I live. I live in New London, Connecticut. I'm a Navy brat. My father was 20 years retired Navy. I was an instructor at the submarine school for my last 4 years in the service. So I've got
time for
the Marine Corps, and I've been deployed, and I know what it's like. I'm speaking from experience, not from a cadet's point of view who has experience.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, sir. All right, there's Shane. RC, you know.
Well, I mean, you basically let him just, you know, have his way with me. And
what do you mean? He was talking about a guy who's out there getting stuff from home, stuff that they want, stuff that they need. And you're talking about what? You're talking about being in the academy.
Well, yeah, but I was given my point of view, and that guy's having his way with me, talking about how, you know, this, and that. And I'm standing there just going, well, I mean, I don't know anything about no submarine, and nobody else knows anything about submarines. It's a pretty secret thing. Those guys probably think that, I don't know, they probably get bitching stuff in the mail, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. If you're on a sub, you get all the really cool stuff that you're talking about, like sausage McMuffins. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody else in the service want to set this guy straight? You're more than welcome. R.C. Collins with us here from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the stuff that's sent from home. The little things like the handy wipes and the baby wipes and the mouthwash and the socks that go to the soldiers and go to the sailors and everybody else. And as R.C. has been talking, as far as he knows and the people that he talks to, all that stuff is cheap, and they want you to start spending a little bit of money on them. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Henry here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You know, R.C., you're talking very honestly and very earnestly here about wanting really good stuff from home. If you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Iraq, you want to make sure that you have really cool stuff. Meanwhile, you're being very childish.
Well, in what way, sir?
Well, when I said, would you hold on, which is a typical term, yeah, you're going, hold on to what? And we're on the air. You want to be treated like a man, why don't you act like a man?
Sir, I with all due respect, Mr. Henry, I'm acting like a man. I'm on a radio station. The way that I act like a man and the other people that I'm with is we're going to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to kill the enemies of America. And then we go back to base camp, and you get back to base camp after you've been out on a mission, let me tell you what. And you come back to hot chocolate packets and gum? You know, you come back from a strike vehicle. You ever been on a strike vehicle, Mr. Henry?
No, have you?
Well, that's not the point. Yes, I have, because I'm going to be. I mean, I'm in the military academy.
No, you've never been on a strike vehicle, and you've never been to Afghanistan. So, no, you don't know what it's like.
Well, I've got a way better idea, sir, than you do. And I'm just telling you, you come back from a mission, back to base camp, and there's sunflower seeds and Slim Jims, and you feel cheated, and you feel that nobody at home cares whether you live or die.
Oh, come on, and you're not even talking for a soldier. You come back from a mission, and you come back to base camp, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what it's called. You don't know what it's called. I do. And I come back from mission base camp, and all I see, and there's no sausage or sausage McMuffins or anything.
No, you know what? I've just heard from a number of people. We just heard from that young man, and I know you don't think it counts because he was on a submarine and they got all the really good stuff, saying that they appreciate the thought behind these things. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hey, young man, I'm telling you, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 65 years old. And
yes, sir.
When we got packages from home, we wanted foot powder. We wanted handy wax. We wanted those things to keep our... We use handy wax to keep our weapons clean half the time. We use foot powder to keep our foot clean so we can go out in the field. And by the way, young man, you do not go into combat with the idea you're going to give your life. The object of going into combat is to go in, complete your mission, and come back out alive with your men.
Of course, that's what I want to...
You'll never be a second lieutenant, young man, because you're just not that squared away. Thank you.
Well, sir, I want to go and kill the enemy and come back to something more than a handy wipe, wouldn't you?
Until you have fired a shot in anger, don't tell me about killing an enemy. The first time you kill someone, young man, you're going to throw up all over yourself because it is not a pretty sight.
Are you kidding me? That would be the bitchinest thing ever.
He's
don't
talking real life here, Arsene.
I have lived.
Well, I've done that movie Platoon.
That's a movie, R.C. Listen to this gentleman.
I have lived combat. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, 5th Marine Brigade. You tell me what I did wrong. I came home. I took 39 troops over there in a platoon as a platoon sergeant. We came home, 39 men. We took them over. We brought them back. I'm proud of that. We didn't die.
That's very good. That's very good. Outstanding.
Yeah, but were you guys like, you know, in a heavy firefight and stuff like that?
Are you listening to what the man's saying?
I was in the Battle of Khe Sanh. Look it up. Son of a gun.
What's that?
I'm telling you, it's
that was
not pretty.
Khe Sanh, that was after the Tet Offensive. That was during the Tet Offensive. It's a very big battle. It's on Wikipedia. It's in all the encyclopedias. It's a part of history. It's a part of world history, the battle for Khe Sanh. The Marines were there, and they won back that city during the Tet Offensive. And, R.C., you're being very disrespectful asking this man, taking a platoon over there and coming back with all of his soldiers, did you get into any fights?
No, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I just wondered if you can go over there with 39 guys and come back with all 39. Maybe they were just, you know, sitting around or something. I don't know.
Sitting around? It was Vietnam War.
Firefight? You're crazy, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe
you will never be a second lieutenant because you're just not smart enough to be an officer.
Well, I'm not trying to be in the Marines. I'm trying to be Army.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you don't have to be as smart.
I know a lot of people in the Army. They wouldn't tolerate you. The only thing you'll ever be in your career, if you go into service, will be mess officer somewhere.
With all due respect, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get an insurgent on the end of my bayonet. You'll see.
Oh, you're going to wind up getting killed, probably, R.C., with an attitude like that. You know, going in with a... You know, you've been watching way too many movies.
Speaking of movies, I want to ask this man.
If he's too sick, he won't know what to do.
Well, what is going to make me sick about that? I just killed me what do you call the guys over there?
You have never heard any Marine, any soldier, ever tell you about killing the enemy. If they brag about killing the enemy, they didn't do it, young man.
What? Are you kidding
me? We did our job.
I seen a guy on TV the other day talking about it in Okinawa. And all the guys that they killed.
That was a World War II documentary. They asked them about it. Of course they're going to talk about it. What happened on Okinawa that they're going to talk about it?
No, it wasn't Okinawa. It was Iwo Jima.
Whatever, man. Same difference. They asked those Marines, well, what did you do? Where did you go?
Yeah?
My father was killed on Corregidor in World War II.
Where's that?
The Philippines, the beginning of World War II.
If you're in a military academy, you should know the military history.
Corregidor's where?
The Philippines, you idiot! That was the beginning of the war. That was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Well,
you've never heard
of
the Bataan Death March?
The Bataan
Death March, my life. You've never heard the term Bushido?
Is that, what
you've
is that? Is that food?
Bushido? Is that food?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure it's food. Bushido is sure death.
I thought it was
Bushido
a dish.
Player, if you fall behind, the Japanese soldiers had no respect for anyone who was a prisoner.
What you got to do, RC, is spend less time calling up talk shows and more time getting into your books and your history and other things and quit talking about stuff you don't know anything about and just shut up. That's what you need to do.
Well, if I don't say it, who's going to?
Nobody, and that's a really good thing. No one will talk about the dumbass stuff you're talking about, like getting Slim Jims and sunflower seeds and how you're not happy with that. Tom, outstanding to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for your service.
There was plenty of time I would have given up. I'd given everything I had for a Slim Jim and a handful of sunflower seeds.
Are you kidding? That's cheap.
Somebody cared.
You could have gotten macadamia nuts.
You want to take a
in
beer
any event,
in the combat? You're crazy.
A what? Take a beer
in the
combat
zone?
No, you want to take a juice box? Where, if you take a juice box in there, the Viet
yeah,
Cong will laugh themselves
box.
Sick.
You know why I'll take a juice box? Because it's kept
why?
Violent. Because it's got the essential minerals in it that you need to keep going. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah,
in it.
But if the VC see you with it, they'll
take
laugh themselves sick.
Your water, boy.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Tom. Thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for very interesting caller. And if you would have kept your mouth shut, you might have learned something from that man. He's been around.
He goes into combat with a juice box. The Viet Cong would have gone ha 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 ha.
Yeah, and while they're laughing, guess what?
They get dead?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of crap you haven't thought about on this show tonight. You call up with all kinds of silly-ass notions about things.
What are you getting all mad about? You're all like, there's a lot of crap you didn't think about tonight. God, just take it easy, Mr. Henry.
Well, waste my time, man. My producer says, oh, we got this kid from the military academy. He's going to talk to us about, you know, packages from home. The next thing I know, you're yakking about Slim Jims coming out of a cave with an insurgent on your bayonet and the Viet Cong laughing themselves sick when they see a Marine with a juice box.
Well, that guy said I was going to throw up when I killed me, my first insurgent. I don't think so. They just roll off my knife.
What, you throw up?
I got a fever
Phil
booster.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Guys, Norman Bachman, are you hypnotized tonight? Has someone hypnotized you?
They understand that this bill is going to bankrupt this country.
Feels bad. You know, the toughest...
We're humbled by the trust that the
Americans... You have been tweeting me.
You blow it!
Senator Rick, how you doing, Rick? World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show.
You have been tweeting me.
That knows what it's talking about. We take it through the looking glass where truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places. I got news for you. No other talk show would dare go every night here. And tonight on our show, we will be bringing you a little bit more of the postmortem. Marilyn Donnelly joins us from the Tea Party in California to talk about the victory. And it wasn't really a Tea Party victory so much as it was a victory for Republicans, for conservatives, for that certain anti-Obama administration viewpoint, less government, and so forth. It's been quite a war in the political arena in this country for the last 2 years. So Marilyn Donnelly will join us next hour to talk about that. This hour we have Mr. Stephen Bozell, and he will be with us in just a moment to talk about a very personal legal action that he may be forced to take part in. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com, where you can go and get live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of the show. And I was communicating with some dude in Toronto, very nice guy. He's got a radio show, I think, in Canada, and he said, how can I listen to the streaming audio of your show? I said, well, we have it on our videocast. He said, yeah, but I can't watch it at work. I said, well, then you just minimize the video screen and you are listening to the show. And he said, yeah, but he didn't seem to get that. I don't know why. I said, just don't watch it then. Just listen. No, I can't watch the video because I'm... So if you want live streaming audio of our show, you do have that option. If you are in an area of the country where our show isn't carried, or in an area of Canada where our show is not carried. Fortunately, we're in both countries. So join us at philhenryshow.com. Tonight on our affiliate spotlight, our good friends at WTKK 96.9 FM in Boston and at WLRT 1250 AM in Lexington, Kentucky. Two great stations on the Phil Henry Show radio network. 877-876-PHIL. So don't forget, next hour we will do some Tea Party and political in general postmortems on the elections yesterday. Let me get Mr. Stephen Bozell on the line here from Corona, California. And before we really launch into the story, my understanding that you're going to file a lawsuit that involves members of your family?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be filing a lawsuit that would include my non-accessory, my niece, my sister-in-law, and my wife. I have, in the past, been involved in litigation of this kind, but this was a serious enough where I've taken it to the point of including my niece, who is underage. She's a minor, and it's called a non-participatory accessory in a civil action.
All right, Mr. Bozell, you live in Corona, California, and you had a 3-year-old niece at your home with your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, your wife, and you have two children, right?
I have a son who's 13. I have a daughter who's 14.
And you were there having a family afternoon when you were with you were throwing your niece in the air?
I was, yes. I had my niece who was 3 years old, and I was tossing her in the air. And not too high in the air, just high enough, you know, where children will have, children, it's fun for the children. And at one point, she came down a little awkwardly, and I missed her and dropped her. Now, it wasn't serious. She was not far from the ground when I did lose control of her, and she fell and hit her rear end on the floor. Now, she had on a pair of those plastic, very thick diapers, but she did cry and made probably more of a scene than she should have. I don't know if she was looking for sympathy or...
And how old is this baby?
She's 3.
3 years old. So you're tossing her up in the air like we do with kids, and she you missed, huh?
Yes, I did. I missed, and I felt very bad about it. I told my sister-in-law and her husband, Dave, a guy that I know very well, and I was very sorry. I did make the point that I think the child was making a bigger issue out of it than she needed to, and maybe that's because her mother and father have encouraged that kind of behavior in the past, that if, you know, the child cries enough, then people make a big enough fuss over her. So I did mention that, and I don't know whether that put them off or not.
Okay.
Later in the afternoon, my wife was sitting with me reading from the newspaper, and it was at that time she read, and I made notes for my attorney. She read a story from Paris, France, and the story goes as follows. An 18-month-old boy appeared unhurt after falling 7 stories, bouncing off of an awning into a man's arms, witnesses told Le Parisien newspaper.
This is a very famous story. Well, the last few days, a very famous story.
Yes, sir.
This is the story of a little boy who fell out of how far?
It was, the newspaper says 7 stories, and the child bounced off an awning into a man's arms. It's a pretty incredible story. And
yeah, it's the kind of story when you hear it, you don't really, you don't believe it right away.
Well, and I don't believe it. I do believe it, but I think it's so incredible that my wife didn't need to bring it out when she did, because what she was doing, and I know what she was doing, she was reading it so that I would feel lower than I already did about dropping my niece. And I think she did it to have an amusement. And I think she did it to, you know, just to stick it in and make me feel like a fool. I turned to my wife at the time and I said, did you just read that story about that baby that fell out of that window? And she said, yes, I did. I said, is that because of me dropping Angeline, was the name of our niece? And she looked at me and rolled her eyes in what I considered to be an unmistakable look of, you know, three guesses.
What does that mean, three guesses? Like, you got it?
Yeah, like, in other words, you're right.
Okay.
And went back to reading the paper. I was very shocked and I was very hurt. I asked her again. I said, are you reading about that baby that dropped out of a window to make me feel like a fool for dropping our niece? And she did another one of these eyeball rolls and curled her lip and just kept on reading. So that's when I left the table because I was very emotional, as you can well imagine. And I went back to the master bedroom and just, I didn't know what else to do, but I just buried my face. I just buried my face in my hands. And then I got on the phone with my attorney.
All right. To my way of understanding, sir, and our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, to my way of understanding the story, the niece that you were playing with dropped, fell, and you were very upset. Was the baby hurt?
No, she wasn't hurt at all.
All right, she wasn't hurt, but you were still feeling bad about dropping her when you were throwing her up in the air.
Yes.
And so when your sister and your brother left, of course, you made that comment to them, maybe the child's making a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, because I've seen kids pull this before. And
But what, three? How likely is it that a three-year-old is going to do that?
If a three-year-old's given a signal by the parent, you know, okay, this is a good time for you to make a big deal out of nothing, three-year-old's going to go ahead. If they just see the high, if parent gives the kid the high sign, I don't know what, if they work out a signal or something, but yeah, so the baby starts, you know, crying. And I mean, kids at this age can be coached very easily, Mr. Henry.
All right, so you believe that the parents coached this child into crying more than the child should have, and then that afternoon, your wife read this story about a baby falling seven stories and being caught by a man. What was your feeling?
That she was trying to humiliate me. And
well, what did that mean? I mean, in other words, this was a man in Paris who was able to catch a baby and you couldn't?
Yes, sir.
And okay. So she was saying, look at this guy. He can catch a child from seven stories up, and you can't even catch a baby that you're tossing in the air from just a few feet.
That is absolutely correct. And then if you work into that, as my attorney, Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California, she said to me that there is such a thing as a non-participating accessory. That would be the infant, the three-year-old, who got the high sign or took the signal from her parents at the right time and started bawling and crying.
When the baby fell, and if you don't mind me interrupting, Mr. Bozell, when the baby fell, was she really, really crying?
She was crying, yeah. But then I picked her up and I said, okay, it's Uncle Steve. And then her aunt took her, and I saw the aunt turn the child's face to her. And I distinctly remember a kind of a look in the aunt. She was looking at, she was eyeballing the baby and the aunt were eyeballing each other. And I saw the aunt nod or otherwise give a look like, all right, now. And that's when I heard the child really start to cry loud. Then that afternoon, I heard my wife saying that some guy caught a kid from seven stories up. And, you know, at that point, I put it together. And that's when I called my attorney. I was shaken. I was scared.
We talked to your attorney, Dolores Blasingame. She said that at one point you wanted to get away from the house. Why?
I didn't know if my communications were safe or not. I didn't know if people were monitoring what I was saying. It was all fitting together, and I was very frightened, and I wanted to get away from there.
And what were you frightened of? You thought that there was some conspiracy?
No, it's not a conspiracy, Mr. Henry. No, sir. It's just simply that once the baby and the aunt got it in their heads that they could start to, that the baby could sound like it was hurt bad, and then my wife talks about a man catching a kid from seven floors up, I'm in an emotionally compromised position.
Were you really hurt by hearing about a man that could catch a baby from seven flights up? I have to tell you, I don't know of anybody that could do that. I don't think that guy could repeat that in a million years. I think everything was perfect. I think the child hit an awning. The child bounced off of this awning into this man's arms. I mean, it's the most incredible story in the world.
Right. It's incredible, but it just happened to be in the paper, and my wife happened to be reading it to me like she was giving a... I said to her later, I said, it sounded like you were giving a Gettysburg Address or something. And the baby bounced on the awning, and the man caught it to make me feel like a fool.
Where is this lawsuit now, sir?
Right now we're drafting it at my attorney's office. But we are basically claiming emotional cruelty, infliction of emotional distress, slander.
And what is the slander?
The slander is my wife reading the story like I'm supposed to. My wife's reading the story about a guy that caught a baby that fell from way, way, way up, as if to say how great he is and how very small I am.
So you're suing your wife, your niece, your sister-in-law.
And the suing of the niece, sir, is simply she's a non-participatory accessory, but I have to include her.
But you are suing a three-year-old girl.
It is a non-participatory accessory, according to my attorney, and as well as my brother-in-law, Dave Jengel.
What's the family name, Jengel?
Yes, sir.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Speaking here with Mr. Stephen Bozell, who has brought legal action against his own wife, sister-in-law, and niece, because in dropping his niece, in playing with his niece and dropping her, he was later humiliated by his wife, who read him the story of a man that caught a baby from falling seven stories out of a building. And by reading that story, Mr. Bozell, she was attempting to humiliate you.
Yes.
By basically saying, here's a guy that knows how to catch a baby.
I believe so, yes, sir.
And then you also believe that the niece, your three-year-old niece and your sister-in-law engaged in some kind of a physical signal whereby the infant would cry more and pretend like she was hurt more.
I believe so, and my attorney certainly feels that it's justified, yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. It's a very unusual legal action of a man suing a wife, a niece, and a sister-in-law, and a sister-in-law and a three-year-old niece getting together and basically working out a signal whereby the niece will start crying a lot. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video and audio of the show. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has taken the unusual step of filing a lawsuit against his own wife, sister-in-law, and niece. And this occurred on this past weekend, a Saturday, when his three-year-old niece was visiting with his sister-in-law and brother-in-law. The child was being played with by Mr. Bozell, as we often throw children in the air and we catch them. You say, Mr. Bozell, you weren't throwing the child very high in the air, but the baby did miss your grasp at one point and landed on the ground. Not too worse for the wear, right?
Well, the baby was okay. There was no bruise. There was one bruise that seemed to be inflicted before, and I had brought that up to my wife, and she used that as an excuse to further demean me. I said, that bruise was there. I didn't put that bruise there. Your sister or your brother-in-law, or there's something else that put the bruise there. But the baby was fine. The baby only started crying, and I repeated this to my attorney. When the mother picked the baby up, was eyeball to eyeball with the child for a period of no more than a second and a half to 2 seconds, I think something was communicated. And at that time, that's when the child began to make a ruckus. Later on, you know.
All right, and then later on, your wife is reading the story of this infant falling from a seven-story window in Paris, France, bouncing off an awning and being caught by a man, and you feel that was meant to, you call it slander.
It was an intentional slander on me. And, Mr. Andrew, you have to understand that the point of this lawsuit is loyalty, and the vows of matrimony and the bond of matrimony is supposed to be strong. And for my wife to start to play with my mind by reading me a story about a baby that drops out of the air, and a man catches it from Paris, and also backing my sister up. My wife has been disloyal to me, and is trying to make me look like a fool, and wants to see my sister prevail in playing with my mind. I didn't even bring up to my attorney, very obviously, my wife is sitting there eating a Butterfinger candy bar. Now, some people are going to say that that's paranoid, but you've got to know my wife.
And your wife was eating a Butterfinger candy bar when she was reading the paper?
Yes, sir. And making a big show of it, you know, licking her finger, look here, Butterfinger. And so, while you can call me insane if you want to, I have pioneered areas of law that will long remember the bounds of loyalty that a man and a woman should have with each other. And when your wife begins to mock you with a story about a baby sailing through the air, and very obviously after you had made a very innocent mistake of dropping this child, and then the child also turns on you, getting the high sign from the aunt, I had to do something.
So the lawsuit against your wife, your niece, and your sister. All right, sir.
Yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here as we move on to the story of Mr. Stephen Bozell. The story of this baby falling from the seventh floor window in Paris is amazing. Lucas in Houston, Texas, listening on KPRC. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I've listened quite patiently to this man. And I feel that he's either the most unstable, mentally unstable individual I've heard of in a long time and should seek professional psychiatric help. And if he's not that, then he has come up with one of the cleverest, deceitful manners in which to redistribute wealth. And him and his lawyer is conspiring to shake down his relatives, and I think it's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Well, sir, I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to... I'm not Barack Obama redistributing wealth. I feel that I was very hurt by the fact that I had dropped my niece. She's a very small child, and I was shaken by the event. And to know that I was shaken by the event, and then to also inflict emotional cruelty on me by reading me the story of the baby that fell out of the window, you don't find that to be cruel? I do. I think it also is... Go ahead, sir.
Well, I find it very disturbing that that someone reads things into such minor things as what you perceive to have been the baby's mother giving the baby some signal. We're talking about signaling,
yes,
an infant. An infant is prone,
yes,
to, when they're hurt, they're prone to take and react quite spontaneously on
their
own.
But there was a delay. Yeah, there was a delay, though. And when the mother gave the baby the high sign, that's when the baby kicked in to the second level of the emotional reaction.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. I'm looking at Michael Moore on the Lawrence O'Donnell Show, and other than the fact that I have a beard and he doesn't, we're dressed exactly the same way. And guys like us, check-type shirts, Madras shirts, no. Bad move. All right, Stephen Bozell joining us here from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, pardon me for just a little bit of levity there. I know that what you're dealing with here is a serious issue, and it has to do with loyalty, right?
I believe it does, Mr. Henry. I think it has a lot to do with my wife being disloyal to me and joining in the chorus of people who are calling me, you know, looking at he looks like a fool. I know what I know, and my attorney, and I thank God every day, but I have a lawyer that knows what I have to deal with.
And did you have any reason to suspect your wife of trying to mess with your mind? Because some people are going to say you're paranoid. You know that, right?
I understand that, Mr. Henry. No. My wife has, down through the years, gotten a kick out of seeing how far I can get pushed. But I never thought she would take a practical joke to this extent, that she would involve her three-year-old niece, her sister, and the story of this man catching a kid that flew out of the air. And I believe it's to humiliate me. I don't think that baby was hurt that bad.
You said the baby had a bruise.
The baby had some kind of a bruise that I wouldn't be surprised had been inflicted on that child before. Or I don't know. But the lawsuit has to do really more than anything else with the disloyalty my wife showed me by reading me a story of a man who had the guts to catch a kid, flew out of the air, and I dropped my niece. Okay, and the niece, the little girl that I was playing with, turning around and basically spitting in my face by, you know, going in, throwing in with her own mother and father.
We are talking about a three-year-old infant, and just like that caller indicated, a three-year-old child negotiating some series of signals with a mother, it doesn't seem very likely. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Marty listening on KPRC tonight. Marty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm a grandmother and a great-grandmother.
Can I make one point, Mr. Henry? This baby, they show it those little Einstein DVDs from Disney. And I've heard them say they want to turn this baby into one of these eggheads that goes to college by the time it's 10.
Yeah. What is Little Einstein?
These are DVDs that are made by Disney.
Okay. Sorry, Marty, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Anyways, this is absolutely absurd. You are being paranoid. You either have a low self-esteem or it sounds like you think everybody's out to get you. Number one, a child has an instantaneous result before they cry. They get hurt. They look at their mama, then they turn around and start crying. That's natural. That's normal. It's happened to me with my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. That's normal. As far as your wife, she's probably rolled her eyes and puckered her lips as if to dismiss you as saying something like that that's crazy. As far as that other man catching the baby, that's a miracle. That you ought to be happy that he did that. You know, we all have accidents.
I agree with you. Yes, ma'am, I agree with you that it was a miracle. I tried to tell my wife that, but she's old.
But you're reading more. You're reading more into it than you should. You know, you owe your wife an apology and your sister because this is ridiculous. You know, for you to be that paranoid to think that they're out to get you or to make you feel small, that comes from within. You're feeling that from within, and that's all I've got to say about this.
Well, that's a very interesting point of view, Steve. All right, why would they want to do this to you?
Mr. Henry, I'll tell you why. Because my wife, when she sees a story that's so amazing, and, you know, in a lot of ways that baby getting caught is a very romantic story. When she sees something like that, she wishes that she had men in her life that could do stuff like that. And when she doesn't see that, it makes her mad. So she looks for a way to say, look, see, I didn't marry a guy that catches the baby that flies out of the air. I married a guy that drops babies. And so when I dropped that kid, my wife, you know, immediately started going, and then this baby got caught by a man. And that lady talking about how the baby pauses and then cries, do they make eyeball contact from about 3 inches away with their mother? Does the mother wink? I don't think so.
And so you saw the mother wink.
I didn't see the mother wink, but I'm saying, would that happen? No. And I couldn't see, but the two of them were eyeball to eyeball.
Well, if your wife is unhappy, is she an unhappy woman?
No. I mean, I treat her good. But I think she's a practical joker, and any time she has a chance to make me look bad...
877-876-PHIL. Mr. Stephen Bozell suing his wife, his three-year-old niece, and his sister-in-law for emotional cruelty and slander when he dropped the three-year-old. His wife then read him the story of a baby being caught out of the air by a man in France, and that 876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-PHIL, along the line here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. You say this is about loyalty, right?
It is about loyalty, and That's what people don't understand. When you're a wife, you expect your wife to stand up for you. And I may be crazy or I might not have things right, but if I say to my wife that that baby was looking at its mother and got a signal from the mother and then started to cry, then my wife has no choice but to back me up. When I say to my wife, that baby was not dropped all that hard, that baby was dropped very lightly, then my wife has to back me up. And if I say to my wife, I want you to tell me the truth, are you reading me a story about a baby flying through the air or falling out of the sky to make me feel bad for dropping that my niece? You better tell me the truth. Well, then she has to tell me the truth. And when we were married, we swore an oath to each other and to God that we would stick up for each other through thick and thin. And so in many ways, she's committed a sin against our vows by teasing me. And
well, you don't think that teasing somebody is a violation of one's wedding vows, do you?
It depends. And in this case, where she has gone so far as to...
Mr. Bozell, I know it's emotional for you.
She's gone so far as to read out loud as if she's reading a speech at a convention, and the baby fell out of the sky and went into the man's arms and then looks at me like I'm no better than a child molester. I looked at her and I said, and this is why we took our oath, through thick or through thin, for better or for worse, so you could sit there and eat Butterfingers. She didn't have anything to say. I noted, I made that notation, and I said that to my attorney.
Well, the idea of a woman eating Butterfingers, now you can say that that's an obvious attempt on her part to make a comment that you're a Butterfinger, right?
Yes, sir, that's exactly what it is.
All right. Does she like Butterfingers?
She likes Butterfingers. Yes, sir, she does. Yes, she eats Butterfingers, but she's eating Butterfingers at a time when this story about the man is in the paper and I just dropped my niece. Now, you can say whatever you want. There's no way that something like that happens and the things don't come together.
And well, when you say things come together, you see, either things come together, Mr. Bozell, or we put them together. If a guy drops his niece, and then the niece starts to cry, and then later on the wife is reading a story about a baby flying through the air, it could be that the woman just happened to see this story and is reading it out loud to you as a way of laughing, okay? Now, your wife also likes Butterfingers. Did she go out and buy Butterfingers knowing that she was going to tell you this story?
No, we've got Halloween candy left over. We had candy corn, but we got three Musketeers. And let me ask you this. We got candy corn and three Musketeer and Almond Joy, but she chose a Butterfinger right there. And I'm going to take that with me for all the days that I live. That when the chips were down and my wife could have stood up for me, instead of violating our wedding vows and sticking up for her practical joker sister, her bum brother-in-law, her spoiled, rotten brat niece, instead of sticking up for me, she threw in with them, and she went ahead and grabbed a Butterfinger and was eating that, looking at me, licking her thumb, and reading a story about a baby that come flying out of nowhere. For me, that is...
To you, this is a violation of wedding vows.
This is absolutely a violation of wedding vows. And I told my attorney that. She did not want to go that direction. She wanted to go slander, emotional cruelty, and innocent accessory after the fact. I said, all right.
877-876-PHIL is our number as we talk with Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. He is filing a lawsuit against his wife, his niece, and his sister-in-law for mocking him, making fun of him because he dropped his niece when playing with her. Later in the afternoon, they read the story of the boy that fell from 7 stories up and was caught by a man in Paris, France. And his wife was eating Butterfingers at the time she was telling him this story. And it all puts together in his head. as a mockery and slander, and that's the basis of the lawsuit. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking with Stephen Bozell here from Corona, California. And I haven't even asked you what kind of damages you're looking for, sir.
They tell you $50,000. They make you put a number on it, but...
You don't know yet.
No, I don't.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back here with Stephen Bozell in a moment.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Stephen Bozell with us, our special guest on the baby that fell seven stories in Paris, France, and was caught and was safe, is only a part of this story from a man in Corona, California, who was playing with a niece last weekend, threw the little child in the air, as we often do with children, and the baby slipped from his hands and fell. Now, there was no serious injury, but the infant did cry, and in your mind, that began a series of events. The infant was crying more than she should have. You think that this was something that the mother of that child and the child both agreed on. Your wife starts reading you the story of this child that fell in Paris, as if to say, you aren't man enough, you can't catch a child that's falling out of the air. Mr. Bozell, I want to say this as kindly as I can. You know, if I were to say to you that there's every indication, a lot of what people are saying here tonight is true, that you have a paranoid and perhaps... there's an emotional state that you need to address, what would you say?
Well, I would say this. You don't know my wife. And you don't know the kinds of stunts and jokes, the kind of attitude she's taken. She's always taken the side of the children. She's always telling me, you know every time you want to... She's always taken the side of the children. You know, and people... I'll tell you. I mean, ever since... You know, it seems like ever since the Kennedy assassination, you can't say anything now and people think you're crazy.
And well, I don't want to get into that. You know, I don't want to get into 9/11, okay?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that my niece, I'm not blind. I can see when a three-year-old, I don't care if she is three years old. She's looking at her mother. The mother gives her her mother nodded. Okay, now, that's not just the baby saying, okay, I think I'm going to cry now. That's the mother giving it the high sign. Then my wife... eating Butterfingers and reading the story. Come on.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Viola, listening to us tonight on WWTN. Hello, Viola. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil. I just
wanted
to say, listening to his conversation, he not only sounds paranoid, but he is self-centered. I'm divorced now, but I was married, and a marriage is 50-50. It don't revolve around one person.
Secondly,
when she read that article to the paper to him, I saw it totally different. I saw it saying, this child fell this high, hit the canopy, and bounced off, and then the man caught it. We don't know how far down the canopy was. She might have been trying to let him know, don't worry about it. If this child fell that far and it's okay, this child that we dropped is okay too.
Look at this guy. This guy caught the baby, and you can't even catch a baby that you tossed like two inches high.
But
and that's basically.
The story is, we don't know how far that baby fell before it hit the canopy. The baby could have
right.
got hurt hitting the canopy. Is what I'm trying to say. Trying to tell you that if that baby could fall that far without getting hurt, more than likely your niece was not hurt.
All right, that's good. You may have that part of it covered, ma'am. What about the fact that you may have that part covered, but what about the fact that the infant and the infant's mother clearly were trading signals?
Hey, I'm a mother, and just like the other lady said, my child fell one time, and it wasn't no signal for me. He was startled, and then when he got up, he looked around the room, and then he just started screaming. I don't believe there was no signal given. That is children. That's the way they are when they're little. And
but
the first thing...
You could have given that baby the high sign.
I do not believe that. And then the Butterfinger. You just got through saying... He just got through saying his wife loves Butterfingers. Well, I'm a Butterfinger person, and if I've got all this candy sitting there and there's a Butterfinger there, I'm going to eat a Butterfinger. It has nothing to do with...
I understand it, ma'am, but it had been Halloween, as I'm sure you know, and we had every kind, Three Musketeer.
You also said her favorite candy was a Butterfinger. Well, if
that's
there's
right,
a Butterfinger in there, that's what she's going to eat.
Now, you may think I'm paranoid, but it sounded to me like you said baby finger. What'd you say?
Butterfinger. She said Butterfinger.
All right.
So what I did is...
Are you telling me that you picked through Almond Joy and all of that?
If your favorite candy is Butterfinger, I mean, I happen to like Almond Joy. I would pick an Almond Joy over Butterfinger.
Holy God.
If there's an almond smell in there. But what I'm trying to say, it sounds like you're self-centered. It's got to be all about you. Marriage is 50-50. You take the good with the bad.
How come she's always sticking up for some kid? And if she can throw in with a kid and a mother, all the better.
What do you mean, throw in, man? This is a conspiracy of some kind?
It's her hooking up with her niece because she thinks she's so cute.
All right, Viola, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here to Orlando, listening on WEUS. Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Excuse
Hello.
Me. Hello, yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay. I agree with all the other callers. This gentleman has psychiatric problems. He needs to see a professional. As that woman was saying, the baby's reaction is perfectly normal. When children get hurt like that and they're, you know, shocked or startled, they don't start crying until they respond to their mother's fear. It's a perfectly normal thing that the baby did. And he's blowing this totally out of proportion. It's totally ridiculous. And furthermore, I think if this court...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'd like to ask you a question. When have you ever seen a mother wink at a baby and the baby wink back?
You did not wink. You said earlier you did not see a wink. That's your paranoid delusion that you're adding to this event. You yourself said earlier that you did not see a wink, and I'm telling you that is a normal response between a mother and a child when a child gets hurt. You know, and furthermore, I think your attorney, if this case does get to court, should be reprimanded by the judge for bringing such a ridiculous, frivolous lawsuit and wasting the court's time. You need some help, man. And why would you stay with a woman that...
With all due respect, you watch one episode of Law & Order and you think you know all about it. Boy.
No. I'm an experienced person. I've lived for 56 years on this planet. I've had people that I know that have brought lawsuits and been sued. You're absurd. You're totally ridiculous.
No, ma'am. It may be absurd, but you weren't there. You didn't see the child... start making a big... The kid was smiling at me and then turned...
How many people have to tell you the same thing before you open your ears and start to listen? Every single caller has made the same remark. So it's you against the rest of the world.
Can I ask you something? How likely is it that you drop a kid, then your wife starts reading to you about a guy that didn't drop a kid, and she's eating a Butterfinger?
Why would you stay with a woman... Why would you stay with the woman that treats you so badly?
Good question. Good question. I believe my wife has violated a number of areas of our prenup, and I think it is disloyalty, Mr. Hendry. So it could turn into a divorce.
So just to be clear, you're going to divorce your wife because you believe she and a 3-year-old infant and your sister entered into some plot to laugh at you.
Okay. You know, you people don't understand.
No, you don't understand. The problem is that you don't understand that you need help. You need some professional help. You need some talk.
What help? I need a better lawyer. Yeah.
Well,
I need a niece. I'll tell you what, I need a niece that isn't such a smart ass. And I know she's only 3 months old, and I've never held that against her. But, boy, she does it again. Man, I'll turn her into cat food.
Phil Hendry.